I've been a primary author of two of the largest tax cuts in the history of our state.
Let the eagle soar.
Son, go outside and dust yourself off. And when you feel good again, come back in and talk to me. We know what they would have done because we know what they did.
K-Row. I've been there. K-Row.
We are going to fight for Missouri values. We are going to defend life. And we are going to protect our constitutional rights.
What I am trying to do to simply make tomorrow just a little bit better than today.
Just like the former senator said, trying to make tomorrow just a little bit better than today. Welcome to the Hashtag MoLedge podcast. I'm Scott Fawn, host of This Week in Missouri Politics, alongside our co-host Becky Third Red and finally Pat Lohman. Welcome back, Becky.
Thanks. Yeah, happy to be here.
We have a very special guest we're excited to have a conversation with, Mr. Deering with the Cattlemen's Association. Sir, welcome to the Hashtag MoLedge podcast.
Yeah, thank you, Becky. Thank you, Scott. Happy to be here and looking forward to the discussion.
It's an interesting time. Obviously, no matter how interesting it is, we always like to thank our executive producer, Ben Peters. We have to have a shout-out right off the top to Rachel Herndon, editor of the Missouri Times, had Harper done this past week. We're very thrilled to welcome them, welcome Harper to the Missouri Times family.
Yeah, welcome Harper. She can be our next special guest, right?
Exactly.
She would be great. Five questions.
Yeah, she would probably take our place, is what we do. It'd be a great five questions. She's like 15 giving questions about her mom. That would be, we should note this.
Well, hopefully MoLedge podcast is still going in 15 years, right?
Exactly.
That explains why she's not responding to email, so that's good.
That's the reason. You bet. Also want to thank our sponsors. We always want to thank the St. Louis Chamber of Commerce and Republic Services. Interesting week in politics. We saw a little drama in the Senate this week. Becky, you've worked in the Capitol for a while now. I don't recall ever reading about covering anything quite as aggressive as what happened last week. And then the fallout leading to this week, the Senate leadership tried to change a rule to help the floor leader have a little bit more maneuverability, and it went down in defeat.
Well, I think you used the exact right word, aggressive. I think it was kind of bubbling below the surface for a while. There's been a lot of conversations from some of our statewide officials and the General Assembly, and I think that kind of came to a head in a big way in the upper chamber. I haven't heard anything this week. I don't know. It seems like there's been a lot of handshaking and friend making again, but whether that remains to be true as we see legislation move throughout the session.
Well, I thought, studying it closely, and I even wrote a piece about it. I don't write a lot of articles, but I wrote one for the Missouri Times. It started off as a thing about a rebellion from some of the senators, maybe call them backbench senators, rebelling against leadership. And it's the funny thing. Senator Sheed made a good point. I'm not a Jay Nixon hater. I never have been. I understand reasonable people can criticize him, but I don't think he was a terrible governor. I think one thing, even people that try to be fair-minded in viewing Jay Nixon's time, he was not very engaged in the legislature. And whether Chris Koster was the governor or Eric Greitens, you were going to have some re-entry. They were going to be more active with the legislature than Governor Nixon. But
be careful what you wish for,
yeah.
Right?
Mike Deering, I mean, it's an interesting thing. It is a good point that Senator Sheed made is everybody's complained that Jay Nixon doesn't engage. And then when the new governor engages, it didn't quite go like they planned.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, that was a common theme is, you know, the governor never got off the second floor. And now the governor is, and we don't like it. So
I have to say, though, I observed Eric Greitens running the primary. And I think, you know, he had some problems kind of figuring out. I mean, if you're not in politics, it's like raising cattle. Even if you've been around it, raising, actually doing it as your job is different. I thought that he had a staff shakeup about the middle part of the primary, and he figured it out. And by the end, he had it down. He started the general election campaign talking about couches and just kind of some silly things that didn't really make a lot of sense. And then he figured out the way Republicans have won elections for the entire Obama administration, Obamacare and Obama and Clinton, and he hammered it home and he figured it out very well. He's probably the most on, by the end of the election, probably the most on-message candidate I've ever seen. I think you saw with being governor, people knew he did not have experience at this. I think the public knew there would be some mistakes, but they wanted a new approach. And I also think it's interesting. So the first three senators he called in were Whelan, Hoskins, and Igel. Interesting that those obviously went really poorly.
Poorly, yes.
And you can tell by their votes that they went poorly. And they did not do it. But then they brought in Senator Wallingford, and you could see a change in tactics. He was figuring it out. And almost and every senator he talked to after that, the governor whipped their vote. Now, senators don't like to admit that they got their votes whipped like their House members, but they got their votes whipped. Senators Romine, David Schatz was talked to, Libla, guys that are pretty pretty independent-minded. I think you saw, even in that microcosm, you saw a very intelligent guy, very capable guy, do something he never done before, screwed up a little, maybe a lot in this instance, and then he figures it out. And by the time he's done, the guy goes 4-for-7 with senators. Not bad, especially when you end with 4 in a row.
Yeah, not bad at all. It took him 3 tries to figure it out. That's a good, I'll take that all day. That's a pretty quick learning curve.
Yeah.
And it looks like from the conversations that we've had, Senator Hoskins was on the show last week.
Mm-hmm.
He seems to have started patching that up, or perhaps they've tried to start patching that up with him. So it'll remain to be seen with the long-term effects of those, of what happened last week, but it seems like we're moving forward, question mark?
My dear, I thought that it was a, I mean, I don't know that it's, you could call it statesmanlike to get on Facebook and slam people, but I think it is statesmanlike that after, when the dust was settling on Wednesday, he called Senators Igel, Hoskins, and Whelan to his office and tried to smooth some things over. I think that's what the governor, that's what a statesman does, right?
Yeah, I would agree. I think airing that stuff on Facebook is probably a little too much, but I think he's trying to patch it over, and I think it will. I think it'll work.
And do you think that he? I mean, he's looking at the voters. So you and I, everyone in this building, might think Facebook was too much, but maybe that's what voters want to see: is him shaking up politics as usual.
Oh, I think everywhere except people that personally know Denny Hoskins or Paul Whelan or Bill Igel agree with the governor. I mean,
right.
But I guess my point was, I think the governor successfully to the public made it about a pay raise. But at the end, I don't think it was about a pay raise at Denny Hoskins. It was it became about Senator Silvey's right to, if he wants to recuse himself, he should. And when you describe a conflict of interest, directly voting money into your pocket is what I would think would be the definition. So I kind of think the governor went and borrowed a Senate problem and it didn't go well. But to the public, I'd say he won. But if I was Governor Grimes, I don't know that there's so many things you can win on. Why not? And keep in mind, this was not the night it went into effect. It still had 28 hours when he was doing this lobbying. So I don't know. That was interesting, but I think more interesting, I believe Eric Greitens is figuring this out and is going to do well. I think the budget cuts are not popular, but there's no money we can do. I mean, Jay Nixon had to do them. It's the Republican legislature passed a budget that wasn't balanced. That's the facts. And I think he's doing well. I think that vote whipping was interesting, but the Senate rule change, Mike, you've got to see politics on a big scale, bigger than I have observed. When you see the Senate bipartisanly knocking down rules leadership wants, two questions to me: why bring that rule up a week after the dust up? Why not let that settle? Why not go to some bills that affect senators' districts for a while? Why go to a rule change? And then I think that's the bigger harbinger of what may. It won't be that. I think what may come out of last week is Governor Greitens learns how to whip votes a little bit better. And I think that you saw some cracks in Senate, the Republican caucus unity.
And I think that's hard to explain, hard to understand at the big scale in D.C. or here in Jeff City. I mean, you almost need a psychology degree to kind of understand what's going through people's minds. I don't think it was strategic. I don't think it was tactical. I think it was egos at play. And I think it's a psychology thing, and people were thinking a little bit and using emotions at the same time. So I think it's ego-based. I don't believe it's any type of strategy or so forth.
So let me ask you a question real quick before we get into your background on what the cattlemen are doing. I have this image burned in my brain from last veto session, and I happened to come up, I forget, it was some of the senators I knew was going to be their last vote, and last thing they did, and they were working, but there was some House guys, and there was this image in my mind of you and a bunch of guys in cowboy hats that you know don't make going to the state capitol like a weekly ordeal. These were Missourians that work hard and are engaged in politics, but not living, and somebody I just adore, Nancy Giddens, and you guys were totally quarterbacking something to the very last minute. Tell me about what advice would you give a staffer maybe listening to this, may work in interest group someday. What would you advise you? I mean, you did that so successfully, and you had to grind it out. You had to pluck that. I watched it. When I saw there was one group left, you always have MATA in the rotunda. They're always
absolutely.
They're there from the sun up to sundown. But that day you had the cattlemen there. Give people an advice on how to persuade folks to come to your side.
Well, the cattlemen, we have a program called Cowboys at the Capitol. So every Wednesday, today is one of those days that we have our members at the Capitol developing those relationships. So today they're meeting with all the new folks, developing relationships, letting them know, hey, we're the cattle industry and here's who we are. And in 2012, we led the first ever veto override of ag legislation in Missouri's history. And then this past year led three overrides. And, you know, Nancy is awesome, so is Shannon. But she and I and Shannon can argue all day long with these folks, but I call it cowboy voodoo. When the cattlemen, I mean, seriously, when the cattlemen come here with their hats and they've taken time out of raising cattle, off of working off the farm, off of away from their family to come here and speak for a cause. I mean, I think the urban folks and the rural folks alike listen to that and understand. I mean, the message that we try to give here is that we all want the same thing. I mean, we communicate with the urban legislators more than we do our rural folks, and I think more ag groups need to do that, because at the end of the day, it's about affordable food, nutritious food, safe food, and making sure that that family in St. Louis has the money to go to the grocery store and buy a meal for their family. And I mean, we're all in this together.
Tell us about your background, though.
My background, I grew up in Savannah, Missouri, up in the northwest corner of the state on a diversified family farm. And then after that, went to Denver, Colorado, worked, and then to Washington, D.C. for the American Farm Bureau, then the U.S. Grains Council, and then the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Spent most of my time when I worked for the Grains Council in Morocco, Indonesia, Afghanistan, and other countries developing their livestock sectors.
So coming here, working in this particular session for the cattlemen, what are you guys watching the most? What are you guys watching the closest? And is there something out there that you're trying to beat back?
Well, you know, our number one priority, and I'll just be blunt, is trying to maintain or rebuild or build a relationship with this administration. It's no secret that we endorse the opponent in the governor's race. And so far, so good on that. We're keeping our heads low.
I think, to his credit, it looks to me
exactly.
Like his director of agriculture, I think, was a...
She's a rock star.
A sign of respect.
Yeah.
One of yours,
yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. She was active in Farm Bureau. Her family has cattle and in the pork industry as well. So, you know, all signs have been good, but we're going to continue to build that relationship. We're also looking at private property rights. All the bills that we're focused on this year are surrounded around private property rights. We have a lot of concerns, especially with the Nixon administration, on buying a lot of land that could be in production agriculture and turning it into a state park, and disregarding private property rights in terms of not having an open bidding process, spending a lot of state money more than the value of the land. We have an issue with that. We also have some concerns with Sonia Anderson has a bill on animal confiscation where HSUS and others can take animals, and then when you're found innocent, you have to pay a ridiculous amount of money to get the animals back. So we're looking at that. We also have concerns with eminent domain and looking at some ways to toughen the eminent domain laws in the state. Specifically, the Grain Belt Express has caused a lot of grievances with our membership and Farm Bureau and other organizations as well.
Something cool you're doing, though, the Prime Cut newsletter. Am I just new to that, or is that something relatively new?
Is that
I think
what it's
that's
called?
Cool.
Prime Cut? Who came up with that? Was it you?
I literally
get a bunch of different industry newsletter stuff, and it's whatever. It's the whoever association. But the Prime Cut, that's cool.
Yeah, you know, it's been around for a while. We just added you. You're late to the game, but Ben's been on there for a while. But, just communication with our membership. We also have a monthly magazine that goes out to 10,000 or so folks. Best ag magazine in the state, as far as I'm concerned.
There you go. What's the name of the ag magazine?
Missouri Beef Cattleman. So
it doesn't roll off the tongue like Prime Cut magazine, but
yeah, that's true.
Let me. We always want to take a moment to thank our sponsors, the St. Louis Regional Chamber of Commerce for Public Services. And want to come back to something that happened Sunday. Oh, just a sweet, sweet Sunday. Thank you. We were discussing with Cinder Hoskins, who was on last week on the internet, on Twitter, about the Super Bowl and who we liked. And I liked the Patriots because I'm, as a St. Louis, and I thought it was very nice to see Roger Goodell to go up there and hand the trophy to the Patriots, who he'd give nothing but grief to. But I'm not the biggest football fan. But I laid the bet out, and Becky was so confident about the Falcons. Oh, all the way, no problem. And I predicted.
And I even circled back.
Yeah, and that brings us to, first of all, our tweet of the week, which is from our very own 2016 CMO Times Podcast Coach of the Year, Becky Lohman. I believe the tweet was, at Scott Fahn, just reminding you, and what she was reminding me of was her prediction of, Falcons all day.
Falcons all day.
And we put a $100 bill down on the winner, and it was about, oh, the third quarter that Becky sends this tweet out reminding me of our bet.
I tweeted at you.
Yes.
And then
yes.
I went to sleep before the game was over.
And the
and I woke up
shifted.
And I woke up and I had to put my tail between my legs, and you know, so I, for our listeners, I have 20 5 20s here. I looked for 10,000 pennies. I looked for 100 ones. It's harder to get 100 ones than you might think. so I have 5 20s here, and I know that I'm going to donate it to the charity of your choosing.
Well, the charity of my choosing is the Shiloh Museum of Ozark History's Hillbilly exhibit. So, on behalf of hillbillies all over the state of Missouri, I want to thank you for your donation.
It's an important cause.
I'd like to actually touch the money now. You can give it over to me. But could you get a photograph of this?
Yeah, we can.
Money.
I should have brought you a bag of pennies.
I just want to rub it on my face.
Oh, okay. We're getting weird now. I think you should just put it in your wallet.
No, I mean, I'm going to hold it out like the $1 million man right
now. I want
to
see proof. I mean, I trust you, but I want to see proof that this goes to the hillbillies of Missouri and not to the head hillbilly of Missouri.
Well, it's going to one hillbilly. I appreciate that. I would encourage everyone to donate to this outstanding exhibit of hillbilly thing culture.
It's important. It's important to the history of Missouri that we, you know, respect and honor the hillbilly.
Well, not just history, but today.
Modern history.
So our tweet of the week is actually from our own 2016 podcast Coast of the Year, Becky Third Red and Finally Passed Lohman, for her ill-advised gloating over a bet that
I got cocky and I owned it. I showed up. I could have quit the podcast. You never would have seen me again. Never would have got my money.
You would have lost a disgrace, though. I mean, that would have been the worst way to go out of all
right.
time.
Right. I got to own it.
So what we do have to now, Mike, it's up to you to own the 5 questions from
all
Becky.
All right.
So Becky, tear in.
5 questions for Mike Dearing. Question 1, who is your favorite cowboy of all time?
Favorite cowboy of all time? Oh boy. John Wayne, you know, he's movies, but.
Good answer. I was going to say Will Smith's character in Wild West.
Oh no, move on.
Move on? Oh my goodness.
You're
okay.
Taking that.
Okay, whoa,
yeah.
whoa. Okay, moving on. No, moving on.
Mike Dearing is who I was going
to
say.
Back up to the part. That means Becky watched the movie.
That's important. That's important to know.
Great fact check by 2016 Podcast Executive Producer of the Year,
Ben Peters. He's the brains of this operation.
Yep. Well, clearly. I mean, everyone knows that.
We're just the talking heads. Okay, question 2. Ketchup on your fries or on the side?
None. Zero. Mustard kind of guy.
Mustard. Yeah.
But where do you put it?
On the side.
Me too. Who are these people who put it on the fries?
I don't know. Somebody.
That's got to be like
I'm not going to guess which legislators probably
situation.
Do that, but.
Like, you got to be in, like, a special, like, a ball game. It has to be an abnormal situation before you go on the fries.
If you're at your dinner table and you put ketchup on your fries,
problems.
I'm judging
you problems.
So much. I don't want to know who does that because I don't want to lose friends over this.
I'm just loving
ketchup. I will cut you out of my life if you put ketchup on your fries.
I'm loving counting this money. My own check and just keep these 20s as hashtag Mullidge Podcast souvenirs.
You know, we should do a weekly bet, and I don't know what. Maybe it's not always money because I might go broke if I lose all the time, but
maybe
I'm open to
brag,
some friendly wagers. Question 3, your favorite cut of steak?
I'm a Kansas City Strip guy.
And do you use steak sauce?
I do not, absolutely not.
Yeah, well, the steak, the cattlemen's are raising. You don't need steak sauce in Missouri, right? Maybe other
steaks.
Yeah,
I mean, I do use it when absolutely necessary, like here at the cafe, here at the
Well, Kansas City Strip is a solid play, though. I dig that.
I know ribeye.
And ribeye, you can be,
I like ribeye. I'm a T-bone guy. You
that's
know,
not that surprising.
Get the best of both.
I got
a strip and a play combined.
It's like my late friend Chris Farley said, though. You can get a good look at a T-bone by sticking your head up a bull's ass, but I'll just take the butcher's word for it.
That's a classic line. You nailed it. It's hard to get that out.
I've been practicing that all day. All day I've been practicing
nervous.
That line. I like what's watching on YouTube.
I would have screwed that up.
I'm proud of you, buddy. You killed it.
Well, hard work pays off.
So here's one of our favorite questions to ask. Everyone gets a little nervous. Favorite member of the General Assembly?
Current member?
Current member.
Yeah.
Current member.
Well, there's a lot of
what meetings on your calendar, and you are looking forward to.
I enjoy working with meetings on the calendar. Oh boy, who won't be offended if I? you know,
I have to say, like,
I'm gonna have to go backwards on this one if I can.
There you go.
I mean, Tommy Pearson. Tommy, you know, he's gone now, but his son, I look forward to getting to know him. But man, that guy really impacted me on a personal level. His stories, his advice, his insight, and the way he would look at the urban and rural issues. He was our legislator of the year, and he's from Ferguson.
Wow, I mean, that's really cool.
He's a rock star
for ag. I bet
not
a lot of people know that.
He grew up on a farm in Tennessee. He understands ag, but he also understands and really helped bridge our gap that we had here in the legislature. And yeah, hats off to him.
I'm gonna get in the Wayback Machine. I'm gonna go my favorite former legislator, Connie Cerfoy. Just the nicest, best person you'll ever run
into. That's what I heard. I never had a chance to meet with her.
How the hell she puts up with Mike is a testament to just the grace and understanding that she walks through life with.
That would be true. And Tommy, I mean, he brought the cattleman, so I have to tell the story. So he brought cattlemen down to Ferguson to grill hamburgers for people impacted by. And I tell you, I mean, that it really opened our eyes that, you know, there's more to the world than our 40 acres. So.
Yeah, that's very cool. So last question. Mike Dearing, you could be a dictator for a week. What do you change?
Dictator for a week. I don't believe in dictatorships. You know.
This is all hypothetical. This isn't a tryout for dictator of Missouri.
What would I change?
Besides the designated hitter. Besides that.
You know, if I was to be able to change public perception, I'd probably work on that. And again, the fear of technology, the fear of GMOs, the fear of where my food comes from, that's stuff that hits us home every single day, that we struggle so much at being able to help our consumers understand that we are the good stewards of the land. We are taking care of our animals. So if I was a dictator, I would automatically change that public perception and and save a lot of money in the process.
So I would eliminate the DH, and every week I would have a bet that I won.
Eliminate the what?
The designated hitter.
Oh.
And every week there'd be a bet where I won money from you that you got to make me this happy.
Well, I'm not voting for you for dictator.
I don't think that's something you vote for.
Right, that's what true. If you were overthrown. You know, to get serious for a second, I think I would decriminalize. I would decriminalize all drug use. I think those people have mental health problems. I don't think they're criminals.
Or you just want to try some of that and look over your shoulder?
No, not at all. I'm sincere about this. This is actually the reason I got into politics, is because of grassroots advocacy for medical marijuana and CBD oil. So I would decriminalize drug use. I think those people have mental health issues, not criminal issues.
To be clear, we're recording this podcast. It is 3 hours
ago. I kind of brought the mood down.
Yeah, we don't have policy on that. I'm out.
You asked.
Hashtag Bullish Podcast executive producer Ben Peters. What would you do? Besides make us hit our time better.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
I would make myself the highest paid reporter in the Capitol.
I'm going to bust that $70,000 a year, Ben Peters, right now.
Oh, there you go. You got 100 right there. There's your first raise in hand.
$69,900. Right?
I would probably institute some sort of policy with the cafeteria about food. Where they have to give me free steak every time I want it, and it has to be cooked the way I want it.
It has to be cattleman steak.
You're right. No, I feel you there. I see the point there. So let's get into predictions. Mike, your organization is very politically adept. I always thought the carpenters are probably the best, most savvy union. I always thought the cattlemen right there at the front of the line, the most savvy, politically speaking, ag groups. Where do you see the Republicans going with their nomination for Senate this time? I've heard Josh Hawley, I've heard Todd Richardson, obviously Ann Wagner. A lot of good names.
I've heard Vicky as well. Vicky and Ann, absolutely. I've heard both of those. I haven't heard Hawley, but I've heard Ann Wagner and I've heard Vicky.
So what do you think?
My bet, if I was going to bet that $100, I would bet on Ann Wagner.
I think that might be wise. And Becky, would you bet $100?
I would bet $100 on Ann Wagner. She was in my parish growing up, so she's from my hometown of Baldwin, Missouri. So she's got my vote.
I'm gonna go dark horse. I'm gonna put Becky's $100 that I just won on Todd Richardson.
Okay.
And they get bite.
You heard it here and now. We'll circle back
put
in the
me down
yeah, I want that 100 back.
Yep, I'll donate that to the Columbia Museum for medical marijuana studies.
There you go. We should start like a swear jar. We put money in
that
it every time.
That we should do. Ben would be broke though, so he would blow all that new money on the swear jar. Mike, what else is going on with Cattlemen?
You know, we're full speed ahead. We're getting ready for this Allen West event next week at the Capitol Plaza. Looking forward to having a lot of folks come out to that. So that's what we're preparing for at this time.
That's and a big then a name. Lot that's of cool
yeah,
idea.
Yeah, we're looking forward to having Allen come. So.
So let's circle back. So you have your cowboys in the Capitol every Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So I don't see a ton of guys with cowboy hats. Are you decked
really?
Out in the cowboy? Maybe I'm just not looking in the right places.
They're out in the hall now. So, yeah, every week we have hats in the Capitol. So.
Hats in the Capitol. Okay. How do I get a hat? Is that something I can buy into?
I guess we could buy you a gift. We can't buy anybody else gifts.
Yeah, I'm obvious. Feel free to give me all of the gifts you want. Anything. I can take anything.
I think the governor's gave you so many gifts so far. You don't have to buy lobbyist gifts anymore. You're welcome.
Yes.
Campaign contribution limits. You're welcome. I think the governor may have made it to where you have to go through those metal detectors just because he didn't want to make your life too perfect.
Exactly. You have to make me work hard a little bit, and not being able to walk into the garage is quite the pain for me. So he gets lobbyists there.
So do you think the metal detectors are worth it or not?
You know, I mean, I'm biased. I think we should get rid of them. It's an annoyance to me. But I understand the perception there. You know, my own mother once is happy that there's metal detectors coming in the Capitol for safety reasons, but there's also some issues at play with concealed carries and the legislature that voted to get rid of concealed carry permits. Now you have to have one to bring a gun into the building. So I think it's interesting.
You know, on TV radio, I have no problem defending the Missouri legislature. I think they do a lot of very, very solid things for the state and have served it well. I think even their gun policies are aggressive, but I understand they're representing their constituents. I think it's hypocritical to say you can't have a gun, or you should have a gun, and you're safer with guns over at the office building across the street. But in my office, no, you can't bring guns in without some permit that most Missourians have no reason to have anymore.
My biggest issue with it is we have highway patrolmen doing this, and I think our highway patrolmen have better things to be doing.
You'd hope.
You know, to protect the safety of the public.
That's a good point.
Than wasting time doing this. So I'm not against the security, but I'll get the security. Somebody, you know, not our highway patrolman doing
our
this.
Highest level of, yeah.
Mike Deering, Missouri Cattlemen Association, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
Appreciate
I'm
our sponsors.
I'm in the mood for a steak now. I think I'm going to steak for dinner.
There you go.
I'm going to tweet a picture.
The best steak in Jeff City.
Man, that's a tough call. I love Alexandro's, but O'Donnie's right there. I'm going to give you Dark Horse, though. Patty Mullins has a great steak. Put it down.
I'm going to say Alexandro's, too. Alessandro's. Is that who's
good,
Alexandro's.
Great steak, but Patty Mullins has a good steak.
Peters?
Yeah. I was going to actually say Patty's.
Really?
Yeah, it's a good steak.
Well, you know better than anyone.
I
where
like
are we
Madison's, but
okay.
It is a good steak.
Good to know. Good
for Ben Peters, hashtag MoleEdge Podcast Executive Producer, Maggie Loman, the 2016 CMO Times Podcast Co-host of the Year, Scott Vaughn, we will see you next week on the hashtag MoleEdge Podcast.